This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Lions 24-7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue. He is Sean Fitz. In just a few minutes, you'll hear from Chris Singletary, who is a member of our rankings council at 24-7 Sports, a national recruiting analyst with a bunch of Power 5 experience in recruiting offices. And he will give us a bit of a breakdown on how 24-7 Sports reached its final 32 5-stars, which for the first time, Sean, in 24-7 Sports existence, features three Penn State Nittany Lions, Drew Aller at number three, where he was before, Nick Singleton up a little bit from 20 to 18. Both of those players remain the number one players at their position. And then Denai Dennis Sutton goes from outside the top 90 to inside the top 30. He is at 27. He is the third five-star. Sean, your two-year mission to make DDS a five-star has come to fruition. I know you're happy about the results. I know you think it was warranted. And James Franklin coming off of an 11-11 stretch that a lot of people are very disappointed with, brings in quite the haul, further confirmed by our analysis at the site.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that in jest. I'm a big fan of Denai Dennis Sutton, always have been. And this was not one that I pushed on at all, because he simply went down there to San Antonio and guys were buzzing about him coming out of San Antonio. Then he went to the Polynesian Bowl, back that up. Just being around him, like not just like all the great stuff that we say about him off the field is one thing, but just being around him and his physical presence is something that you have to take notice of. And it's 6'5", 255 or whatever he's hovering around right now. You got to notice this guy. And eventually he came through against some of the best high school competition in the country and made that big jump. We had him in the 90s and he went up all the way to number 27. He's actually the highest rated prospect in the 24-7 Sports composite rankings now, at number 28 overall. Those three guys are certainly bunched up in there. He's number 28. It's kind of a flip. They flip it from 24-7 to the composite rankings, because Singleton's in the middle at number 30, and then Drew Aller is at number 31 as the one of the final five stars in there. So yeah, Penn State, three five-star prospects. It happened in the composite back in 2018. We don't like to talk about that.
Somehow.
But Parsons, somehow, yeah. Justin Shorter. Yeah. Well, it was funny because everybody always says that Ricky Slade, five-star bust. Ricky Slade was only a five-star in the composite, which defied everything except math, apparently, which obviously we don't get around here. He was in the 60s for us, which obviously is still high in hindsight. But yeah, I mean, that's a good close for Penn State. You got a guy that can come in right away, and Nick Singleton, I think, shakes some things up in the running back room. You've got a guy at a position of need, huge need, on the edge there at Denai Dennis Sutton, and you've got what you hope if you're Penn State is your quarterback of the future, and finally that guy that can get this program over the hump from a quarterback standpoint. But all those things we will see, as we just talked about a second ago. Nothing guaranteed. Those ratings will go away quickly, as two of them are already on campus, and they're no longer five-star prospects. They are now freshmen at Penn State.
According to 24-7 Sports, QB1 in all of this college football recruiting class is currently here in State College as a Penn State student athlete. You got to feel great about that if you're Mike Yurcich, James Franklin, a Penn State fan. Of course, there's a lot more dynamics that go in that quarterback room that we've discussed and we'll continue to discuss. But that's step one of the list, is getting that guy in your classrooms, in your weight rooms. And they got that with Drew Aller, who, you mentioned it, there's a differing opinion on this quarterback class really across the industry. You go site to site, check out who they have in those QB rankings. There's a reason that Drew is 31 composite. This is not a slam dunk number one consensus kind of quarterback conversation. So it'll be something that's kind of poked and prodded. You throw in the fact that Quinn Ewers was supposed to be a part of this class. He ends up at Ohio State early and now down with the Texas Longhorns. And we'll find out. A lot of moving parts with this group. And I thought it was interesting. One of the first moves that Mike Yurcich made, along with offering Drew Aller, was offering Cade Klubnik, who went off down in Texas. He was a Texas high school standout again this year as a senior, committed to Clemson. So Mike Yurcich, those early evaluations for him last January, when they were kind of reshuffling the quarterback board with Bo Prabula already committed to the class, those guys ended up ascending toward the top of the rankings. And I know there was a lot of people trying to make the case that the Clemson commit should leapfrog Drew Aller down the stretch. It doesn't happen in our rankings, and you get that trio of five stars, Sean. But outside of that, nine total players from this Penn State haul land inside the top 24/7, and that's not including the four-star junior college offensive lineman, J.B. Nelson, who's already on campus.
Yeah, and going back to that 2018 class while we're still on quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence was the number one by 24/7 in 2018, Spencer Rattler there in 2019, Bryce Young in 2020, and then 2021 is interesting because it was Caleb Williams, and then Quinn Ewers went back and was actually rated above them, although that's kind of a, you know, the situation that with him reclassifying and everything kind of mucks that up a little bit. But yeah, you've got that situation where you've got all these guys on campus now, the nine guys, and then the transfer Mitchell Tinsley on campus now. And like I said, they're freshmen. So there's no sure thing there for anybody. I think that gets, you know, we get stuck in our ways sometimes when we're ranking these kids and think that this is something different than it actually is. But yeah, it's going to be a long couple of years for these guys. There's still development to be had. I think that's the one thing that I love, you know, and we'll talk about it with Chris Singletary a little bit, that there's still development to be had for some of these five stars. Nick Singleton, as we mentioned on the podcast earlier this week, is he came in as a freak athlete, a strong guy, you know, high floor guy, but Drew still looks like a 13-year-old kid, and Denai did not play as a junior and was limited a little bit by an injury as a senior. So I think there's still growth for these guys that, you know, are coming in and have an opportunity not only to play early, but to also get a lot better during their career at Penn State.
Yeah, and as you'll hear from Chris Singletary momentarily, you're not really applying the five-star label to the 17, 18-year-old standing in front of you on the field. You're applying that five-star label to what you think that young man is going to look like at 21, 22 years old when they're impacting high-level college football programs and preparing to enter the NFL draft. And that's really what you're judged on in this industry. Who comes out the other side of college football still with that kind of five-star buzz around them? And unfortunately, we see for a lot of guys that fizzles out very fast. We'll see how it turns out for Penn State. And beyond that trio, Sean, you've got Caden Saunders, actually got bumped up a little bit himself from a 94 to a 95 rating. He's number 76 overall, number 12 receiver. Drew Shelton, number 156 overall, number 14 offensive tackle. Cam Miller, the number 23 cornerback, he's at number 158 overall. Running back Catron Allen, who's also on campus with Nick Singleton in that running back room now, number 15 at that position, number 176 overall. And by the way, Sean, three out of the last four cycles now, Penn State signing two top 24/7 running back prospects. Anthony Ivey, number 29 receiver, number 166 overall. And then rounding out this group in the top 24/7 is Mekhi Flowers. We still have him labeled as an athlete on 24/7 Sports. They introduced him as a defensive back, did Penn State on signing day. Talked about safety as a projected landing spot, but during signing day conversations, they would not rule out the possibility of reps at receiver for Mekhi Flowers. He is at number 13 among athletes, number 241 overall. There's some other four stars that are outside of it, but nine guys inside and three in that upper echelon. Again, we talked about it a lot. The way that Penn State was able to keep this class intact through the speculation about James Franklin's future, through a, you know, mid-season to late-season meltdown that took place, at least in the loss column, they get to the end of this thing, and they provide plenty of reasons for optimism. I know it's kind of a cynical crowd right now among the Nittany Lions fans, and check some of the Facebook comments that are responding to these big five-star announcements yesterday, and people aren't really ready to throw a parade. Yeah, don't do that. There's plenty to prove for this class and for the coaching staff that's going to work with them. But I think you got to take your hat off once again that the Nittany Lions and you know, through a very tumultuous cycle for them, as it turned out, able to get these guys on board. And you think, you know, you can clearly see what our rankings council thinks of this group, putting it up there with just about anyone in the country. And you see Penn State on these lists and college football contenders. Is this the kind of class that can push Penn State toward that group in the next 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah, and the top looks great. It's about the middle of the class, really, when you're building out your roster and you're trying to figure out where you can get not only stars but contributors. And I think this class right in the middle there is kind of the strength here. Is you got guys that you look like, you know, and the plenty of development ahead. It's the coaching staff's job to develop these guys and try and figure out, you know, where they can maximize their potential there. So that lies ahead. And I know, as you mentioned, there's a bit of cynicism about that right now, but still, I think there's some real players in the middle of this class. I will say, just looking at the rankings, I think you can make some, the change, I don't want to say changes, but you can debate, you know, some guys that could be in, some guys that could be out. I look at two guys like Abdul Carter and KJ Winston and think maybe for these guys, for me, they are top 247 guys, but you know, that's certainly, we're not the ones making calling the shots here. But you still are encouraged that you can throw more guys into that argument. And I think we'll continue to talk about these guys, you know, for the next couple of years.
Someone who stands out to me, and I've mentioned him before, just because we don't really have the book on him right now, is Jerry Cross. He was at one point in that top 24/7. I think I mentioned this on a recent episode. I think three total games played as an upperclassman. If you thought Deni Dennis Sutton's, you know, sample size was short as an upperclassman, check out Jerry Cross, who completely changed physically. He remains a four-star, Sean, but he's another guy that I'll be really curious to see, because he could play into a top 24/7 kind of talent pretty quickly over the next couple of years if things come together for him.
While you're on Cross, I did talk to another college coach that recruited him this week, and not Penn State, but I was like, is this kid good? Like, I don't want to say I have my doubts, but you, there's so little information out there. And, you know, for his tape, it was him running around as a flex tight end, or even just a glorified receiver at 215 pounds or whatever. Now he's too close to 260. So like, you have no idea what to expect with Jerry Cross. And he said, yeah, he's really good. And I'll take, okay, I'll take your word for it. You probably get paid more than I do, you know, to scout these kids. And I say that in jest, because he's a college football coach. He definitely gets paid more than a sports writer. Yeah, it's one of those things where you just don't know. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, you don't get that a lot anymore. And, you know, as scouting during the pandemic was no sure thing. And we'll see if Penn State, we'll see how good their talent identification is with some of these guys, the Jerry Crosses, the Amari Evans, who's a high school quarterback that, you know, obviously it's got some speed, but what is he at the next level? Tyler Johnson playing where he plays. There's a lot of questions that, you know, we won't know answers for the next three or four, and until the next 3 or 4 years. But I think that's, you know, one of the things that keeps us coming back.
Yeah. And then in the next 3 or 4 months, the feedback will start flowing regarding this freshman class, and we'll get some looks at them during spring ball, and we can start to piece things together a bit more and projecting how they may impact things here in 2022. But I think it's pretty clear. You look at the roster, you look at the lack of action incoming for the transfer portal. This freshman class is going to need to play a significant role in some key areas. We'll see how substantial, how many red shirts ultimately get burned, but they're bringing in a class and they have high hopes for them. We'll see. And that's really all I can say. We'll see. Enough from us on the subject. We're going to bring in Chris Singletary right now. Tremendous background in college football, evaluating talent. He's going to do a lot of that for us right now. Hopefully plenty of you caught our five-star reveal show on 24/7 Sports yesterday. Tremendous success across the board. And Chris Singletary was part of that production, analyzing a bunch of these new five stars, three of them Penn State signees now at this point, a couple of them already Penn State freshmen. We're going to get the lowdown on how they decided who was a five-star, why Deni Dennis Sutton had such a tremendous jump in those rankings, and then take a look at a few of the other players that Chris has seen in postseason events, just to lay out the resume a little bit for you. We've spoken to Chris for some articles we've done here at Lions 24/7, have not had him on the podcast yet, but he's a 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. He oversees our junior college evaluation for the site. He's a former Michigan Wolverines player. He was on the Michigan Wolverines staff as a recruiting coordinator, as a director of player personnel, also time as a director of recruiting operations in the Pac-12 with Arizona. So it's an impressive resume, and now you understand why there's that Michigan helmet above his head. If you're watching us on YouTube, let's just explain that right away. I know Chris was a little worried coming on a Penn State site with that backdrop, but nice to have you on. I know we tried before. Technical difficulties got in the way. This should be a good conversation. We're ready to hear a lot from you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. I will say this, playing in the Big Ten, going to State College was always a fun place to play. The only time it was not fun is when you kept hearing that lion growl, because that's when you knew that they were up on you guys or winning. But great atmosphere, great fans. Even visited Happy Valley when I was getting recruited out of high school. So no, it's good times up that way.
Chris, while you said that, why don't you tell us about your recruiting visit? I don't know how much you remember. I know it's been a long time. You're not as young as you look, and I mean that in the best way possible. But what was it like being recruited by Penn State back in that day?
It was unique. You know, at that time, obviously they were really good, and the tradition of linebacker U was prevalent in the mid 90s, and so to have an opportunity to be recruited by the staff and visit Happy Valley and see Mount Nittany and go to and the creamery and all that good stuff, and just to meet, you know, good people. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, Chris, we've got a lot to break down in these rankings, because for the first time in 24/7 Sports existence, three different Nittany Lions have been bestowed the five-star status. We knew Drew Aller was carrying that, Nick Singleton, and now Denai Dennis Sutton soars up to be a five-star in these evaluations. Let's start with how you got to the show yesterday. Obviously, over the course of an hour, you laid out why these 32 prospects from across America going to various schools from the FBS to FCS level, as it turns out. What was the process of making those decisions like? I know this was your first cycle on board with 24/7 Sports, but how much went into determining who got that five star?
A ton of information. You know, we have a rankings council comprised of 10 guys across the country, and so it's a constant evaluation process. It's a constant document. It's constant looking at different data, whether it's track and field, whether it's just the football field, whether it's the combine data that the guys may attend, getting a chance to see the skill guys in 7-on-7, seeing them in the springtime when our guys get opportunity to go by the school and watch them practice with their high school teams. And then it's the game film. And so it's fluid. You know, it's not an exact science. It's fluid. And you're constantly looking at guys that are progressing and getting better. You're also looking at guys that might be more of a high floor guy, and some guys that still have a lot of growth to reach their ceiling. And so, like I said, it's always fluid. It's always evaluating. The board is always changing. And so from that standpoint, you know, there's never as that science to this, and everyone has an opinion, and it's a deep conversation and dialogue amongst our staff to get to where we are.
One thing that did not change. Before we get to the big change, and that was Denai Dennis Sutton soaring almost 70 spots. I think people were curious, and we mentioned this on the podcast last week. Would Drew Aller remain the number one overall quarterback in these rankings? He did remain QB1 for 24/7 Sports. How heated was the conversation in determining who led the list of quarterbacks, and ultimately, why did you on the rankings council collectively stick with Drew in that spot?
It's never heated. It's just, it's really a strong dialogue about what guys have seen from different guys across the country, what everybody has seen, you know, myself, Gabe Bruce, and Cooper Patania, and really trying to get a great overall view of what this young man's body of work looks like. And in that process, you're looking at everything again, you know, Elite 11, any combines, really in the quarterbacks, you're really watching that game film. Because highlight films will fool you. And then you're relying on guys that have seen these guys, especially, again, a quarterback, who's seen a quarterback throw live. What does their mechanics look like? What are their body type? How much growth do they have left in the game? Quarterback is a position that's really, really big on the process part. And when I say the process, I'm talking about the processing of the ebb and flows of the game. And so you look last week, for example, when you watched Kansas City play. 13 seconds, automatically, most fans will say, hey, it's over. But when you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he's never going to quit. So ultimately, he's a guy that's resilient. He's going to fight through. And then have the ability to take the game and slow it down in the moment when it's sped up the most to still make those plays. That's what you're trying to find. You're trying to find that. And then adding in, what are the physical attributes? And then how much growth does he have physically and mentally to be able to take the game to the top level? So hopefully that's a good answer for you guys.
With Drew specifically, I mean, we've got the comparison, which the pro comparisons are, there's some differing opinions on that, but we've got a Josh Allen comparison for him. He's 6'5", mm-hmm. He's 230. He can move around a little bit. He can obviously throw the ball, you know, a mile. What are some of the intricacies that you're looking for? Because as you mentioned, we've seen guys that have come in and throw the ball a mile that have not panned out. We've seen guys that have been, you know, ultra, you know, put up these ridiculous numbers and it hasn't translated to the college game. What about his high school tape? And I know you weren't down in San Antonio to see him, unfortunately, but what about his high school tape and all these things that you've scouted translate the best to being a successful college and then eventually pro quarterback?
And so you look at how he's progressed over the years that he's played, and you're constantly looking at film from different years. And now you're building basically a book of business, kind of like his resume. And so you're seeing how much more comfortable he is in the pocket. You're seeing how when teams are playing different coverages, how he's able to check out and go where the hot read is. You're seeing that he's not always drilling the ball, that he's throwing with some touch, that he's able to make some plays outside of the pocket and buy some time. And what you can see is, and sometimes it's again on the game film, you can see the game slow down. And when a guy slows down, he has a feel for the game. He knows what's coming pre-snap. And then in the moment and in time for his time to make the play, he's consistently making the play. That's what you can tell about Drew, is that constant progression of the game slowing down. And as he gets more and more reps, he sees different things and he learns more of the mental part and continually to tighten up his physical attributes, his throwing motion. That's where you see the ultimate growth potential and where we like him to potentially, you know, continually to grow and become better and better.
Drew Aller is already on campus. So is Nicholas Singleton as a freshman running back, Penn State, coming off a real rough season with its rushing attack. What did you guys see from Nick Singleton as a senior specifically that cemented his spot atop those running back rankings?
I think when you look at Nick Singleton, the only question that we had really was opportunities to catch the ball out the backfield. You see a guy that can run between the tackles. He finds hidden yards. He runs with power. When he hits the edge or he hits the crease, he's able to take it the distance. It's not always the guys that's hitting the home runs. You want to see a guy, what I call, play real football. And that's getting those 3, 4, 5, 6 yard runs and how they're looking. Is he always coming out the other side? When I say come out the other side, is he always falling forward? And late in the game, you want a guy that, hey, you know what? We might be milking the clock. We might be trying to just ice the game. Can he carry the load? And then that's something that he can do. And that's something that he did while he was in his high school career. And then I know our guys really were impressed how he caught the ball down in San Antonio.
How do you differentiate a running back from his peers? Because every time you put on a tape of a Division I, you know, Power 5 running back, he's going to be the best guy on the field. I mean, 95% of the time. How do you sort of parse the difference between Nick Singleton and the difference between George Pettaway, you know, a guy that's like top 247 kid that's not a five-star prospect?
Again, you're looking at, not just to highlight, you're looking at the game film, and then you're looking at the physical attributes, you know, body type. Can he sustain and be a guy that can carry the ball, you know, 20, 30 times a game? Can he play on third down? You know, you see a lot of times in the NFL now where, hey, you know, Giovanni Bernard, he's the third down back. You know, so also this guy, a guy that can stay on the field in football, whether it's college or pro, third down is the down that's going to determine wins and losses. You either getting the first down, moving the chains, or you're getting the stop and coming off the field. And so you're looking at a guy that does not need to be substituted, but can play third down, pass protection. You're seeing a guy that can protect the quarterback and ask to do the little things. Like you just said, a lot of guys can run the ball, but can you play the game? Can you read your blocks, or do you just only can ruin daylight? Can you find a hole where there's not a hole, you know, to be seen? Can you jump? Can you make people miss? And so all those things, which add up to big things, is when you kind of separate guys from the pack.
Defensive lineman Denai Dennis Sutton didn't play a lot of high school football the last couple seasons. Pandemic wiped out his junior year. Injury limited his action as a senior. And then he went down to San Antonio a few weeks ago and tore it up at the All-American Bowl during the practice week. We knew he was going to be rising in the rankings. You got the last look at him on a field at the Polynesian Bowl, and you had the unfortunate assignment of having to go out to Honolulu last week and cover that event. coming back from that, what were your thoughts on Denai Dennis Sutton, and why did it seem like he was such a slam dunk for the rankings council to say, yeah, he's going up 60-plus spots, and we're comfortable saying he's a five-star prospect?
I think, again, when you look at his body of work, and so the first thing, obviously, with Denai Dennis Sutton that catches you is his physical presence. I mean, he is legitimately, physically a grown man. And so now you do that immediately catches your eye. And then you couple that with the film that you've been able to watch, and you're saying, okay, we see a lot of positive traits. We see a lot of things that we like. We see the length. We see the bend, the flexibility, the ability to play with power. The ability for him to be a versatile piece where, you know, if Penn State were ever to go to an odd front, he can play the end. If they, you know, stay in their traditional four down front, he can stay on the edge. He can stand up in the 2-point. He's comfortable. You have athleticism with him being a former basketball player. Then you look at and say, okay, this guy missed a junior year. So he missed a whole year of football. You look at the 8 games, I believe, he played as a senior. And you said, wow, he still has this much more room to grow because he didn't get reps. And so now he goes to the American game with some of the best players in the country. He performed at a high level. So even the things that you saw from a film standpoint on the sample size, they're validated. Okay, now he goes to the other All-Star game and he validates them again, you know, his ability to chase, his ever-improving ability as a pass rusher. And so you're like, you know what? This is a guy that still has so much room to grow. He's already really good. But as he continues to grow, refine his technique, and with his body type, like I said yesterday, this guy could easily be 270 and be able to play a number of different positions up and down the defensive line. That's where you see that see the rise for Denai.
Is he the safest prospect of these three? I mean, because he's got the physical aspect. Obviously, Nick Singleton's got that as well. You know, Drew Aller's got some ways to go to build himself up. He still looks like a 13-year-old or whatever. But Denai just seems to bring something safer to the table, different to the table physically. He's there. I don't know if you got any time to spend around him off the field. You know, he's the kid's got it together. Right. So, I mean, do you think even though he's the third ranked guy in our 24/7 sports rankings among Penn State commits, is there an element of safeness to him as a prospect, do you think?
There is. You still have to produce. And so
right.
with him, he does, you know, in the evaluation and all the data that we use and things that we've been able to watch and see, whether it be on film or in person, everything checks out. I would say, though, probably the safest pick of those three would be a guy like Nick Singleton. Because you have so much data, so much information, so much film to on that you knew it was maybe one or two things that he needed to answer that he did at the Army All-American Bowl. There obviously were a few more things because of lack of playing time for Denai, and then we already talked about the growth that needs to continue to happen for Drew. So I would probably say Nick Singleton would be the one.
Singleton, another guy who really impresses you when you get face-to-face or on a phone with him. We can pick your brain here on a few of these postseason events before you're out in Honolulu, and we have a couple questions on the Polynesian Bowl roster. But down at the Under Armour All-America event in Orlando, I know you crossed paths with Sean down there. Caden Saunders is a guy who didn't get to the finish line and play in the game. I know he was banged up over the course of the week, but I saw some of the video evidence, and I know Sean saw some in person. He appeared to flash there during some of the early action. What was your impression of Caden Saunders, who, like Singleton and like Aller, he's enrolled on campus as a freshman now?
He's very dynamic in the slot. He's very elusive. Has a nice body type in terms of being able to be a guy that can sustain the punishment of playing in that position and have some durability. And really had some good burst. You know, when he was able to, you know, when he caught the ball, he was able to, you know, really get up out of there and create yak yards. Soft hands, and he did a really good job of running his routes out of the slot and really putting the safeties and the corners that were guarding him in some different where, you know, he was able to create separation and get open. In the time that he was able to play before he got injured, he was a guy that did really well, and I think the fans in Happy Valley will really be excited to have him. Known KJ Hamler from being both from Michigan and from the Detroit area, him being from Pontiac, and knowing how you guys up there, you know, Coach Franklin, his staff utilizes those guys in the slot. I think Caden Saunders would be a really, really good fit for the future up that way.
And for that background, Chris has known KJ for a long, long time. Tell me about Caden's high step, because this is an impression that you did for me down at Under Armour. You were pretty impressed with the way that he just step, go. It's just those little things that you look for in a guy that's quick twitch like that. I mean, what does that do to set him apart?
When you're able to do, you know, he can hit top speed in two steps. And when you have a guy that can do that, he doesn't need much separation. He doesn't need the ball to always be perfect to make a play once he catches it. And that's the thing that you want in what you call a playmaker. And so in short areas, in small spaces, because of his elusiveness and his initial burst, guy that can really hit it and get it, as they call it. And so that's something that's unique, and that's what you want in your playmakers.
I wanted, you know, to see another guy that, but here we are. So
no. Look, I was never, I'm too old for that trick, Sean. You're not getting on that one.
Hey, Chris, another guy down there that Penn State hopes will be a playmaker for them, and he's also on campus already, is Catron Allen. Scored a touchdown that week. I know he was highlighted, I think, by you, actually, or some of the others that were down there as one of the top performers over the course of the week. He's coming in alongside Nick Singleton, so there's a lot of attention being paid elsewhere. Why should attention be paid to Catron Allen at the running back spot?
I think when you look at Catron Allen and the two backs that have, you know, be coming up there to Happy Valley, you have a nice 1-2 punch. He's a guy that's punishing, power runner, tough in between the tackles. You look at his body type, he's a guy that's going to really run through, and he's shown it on his film that he'll run through arm tackles. And he's a guy that is truly one of those backs. The more carries he gets and the more times that he touches the ball, he wears on the defense. And I think, you know, when you look at him, that's what you have in the wintertime, in the Big Ten, in the fall. You know, sometimes you're not going to be able to throw the ball. You're going to just be able to have the attrition to set in on that defense and punish them. And I think, you know, having him matched up with Singleton is what allows you to be able to do that. And for Catron, you know, he showed good agility, really good vision. It's just a matter of staying in tip-top shape so he can be the best that he can be.
You also got a chance to get out to the Polynesian Bowl, see Cam Miller and Anthony Ivey. Anybody pop up from that? I mean, the Polynesian Bowl, a little bit more removed from, I guess, central Pennsylvania, if you will. But Cam Miller seemed to be one of those guys that turned heads last week. And it was really, I think, our first opportunity to see him outside of maybe Andrew Ivins taking a look at him down in Florida. So what'd you see from Miller? And, of course, your thoughts on Ivey, if you get a chance.
Well, Cam Miller, you're looking at a guy that has really, really good length. You know, he's over 6 feet, 180 pounds. He's a guy that's a mid-4-5 guy. And so when you look at his initial body type, you're like, okay, yeah, he's corner is what his position is. But he also has a body type where he can play safety. And then throughout the week, he did a really, really solid job and a good job of showing who he was as a player, being able to compete in press coverage to really understand what was asked of him in zone. But I really like his body type, his overall athleticism as a guy that might end up being a safety for you know, the Nittany Lions. And then with Ivy, you know, he's another guy that could probably that's more of that slot type body type in terms of being able to you know, be able to got to be a skipper and play in the slot along with Katie Saunders. Solid job, really good athlete. Didn't have a lot of opportunities in the game in terms of catches, but you saw throughout the practices that he's a smooth moving athlete, a little bit of a short strider, will continue to get more consistent with his hands, but has a nice upside and a nice growth potential to his long-term development.
And Chris, I'm going to get you out of here on this one personally. Last question from me. People are listening to this and they're saying, great, quarterback, running back, receivers, defensive backs, that's awesome. But what about the freaking offensive line? Because people are wondering how that's going to get better. So the two names for you, Drew Sheldon, you got a chance to see him down in Orlando. He's the top prospect in Pennsylvania in terms of offensive linemen. Spent some time at IMG Academy, ended up back home. He'll be in Happy Valley later this year. And then JB Nelson, who has enrolled. You, again, oversee our junior college rankings, and he had a bump from an 88 rating to a 90 rating back in December. That put him in four-star territory. He's the number 3 overall junior college prospect. Brings some significant eligibility to Penn State. Two different prospects here, different points in their college careers, but can you address each of them?
I think when you look at Nelson, it's the press, it's the length, it's the size, tremendous wingspan. He's a guy that could play, when you watch him, in my opinion, that could easily play the left or the right tackle. He plays with a physicality and some meanness to him. Really good athlete. He's able to get up on the second level and take out linebackers. He will continue to refine his pass protection. But he's a guy that immediately in the run game, that is somebody that will set it. And has a, you know, good flexibility, and then when his length and his wingspan, when he punches a guy and lock him out, is something that where he can now control the blocker and he can control the game, you know. But the big thing for him that was really exciting for me was when you see a big man that's athletic, that's moving, that's light on his feet, and as he will come there and continually gets coached up and refine his technique and improve his technique, those are the things that really, really had him propel up the rankings, because you see he has so much room for growth and development, but you see a lot of it in film where it's just more coaching that he needs, you know. And I think you know, you guys would be excited about him and have really good tradition of offensive linemen coming out of there. And I could see him, you know, being a guy that eventually have an opportunity to play on Sunday. And then when you get to Drew Shelton, go ahead.
I was just going to say it, and then Drew Shelton, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And so Drew, he's a little bit more raw and he's a little bit more technical development. But again, the body type, the athleticism, he's a guy that's very, very athletic, you know, 6'4", 290 pounds, a 35-inch wingspan. You see everything you need to see athletically. You know, he's agile. He can get up on that linebacker. And not when I say just get to the second level and just hit a guy, but get to the second level, latch on to a linebacker and stay on your feet. That's when you know you have some guys that really are unique to the position. I also think Drew could be a guy that could bump in and play either guard spot. And so now he has the weight, the girth, and the lower body to be able to anchor in pass protection and not get blown up, and then also be able to root guys up out of there and create some running lanes for the running backs.
Well, Chris, that's it for me. Sean, I think you're good too. We asked you for 15 minutes. We kept you for almost 25. That's the way we work around here on the Lions 24/7 podcast. Chris, we really appreciate it. And again, great job on the show yesterday with the 5-star reveal. You can follow Chris Singletary's work across the 24/7 network as he gets settled in as a national recruiting analyst with here.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
You may have heard there a few connection issues with Chris, but hopefully you enjoyed the content. There were a couple spots there where it may have been a little bit difficult to interpret the audio. Try to do our best around that and very appreciative of Chris Singletary. Won't be his last time on the podcast, and he gave us 20-plus minutes on a bunch of Penn State names to know. So very, very thankful for that, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, I got a chance to hang out with Chris down in Orlando, as we mentioned during the interview. Very complimentary of this staff and these kids that they're bringing in. Big fan of KJ Hamler, big fan of some of these other guys. Nick Singleton, especially. I don't know if you could pick it up. He's one of the driving forces behind Nick Singleton being the number one running back prospect in the country. So there's a lot going on, even though he is a Michigan guy. We won't hold that against him. But he did a great job in breaking down some of the guys in this class.
Looking ahead here a bit, we've spent a lot of time focused on the 2023 class because they're stepping up into the spotlight. They're making their campus visits, but we're not quite done with the 2022 cycle just yet, Mr. Fitz. Signing day, as we used to know it, just around the corner on Wednesday, and what a difference the early signing period has made for what this one means at this stage. Yet, there's some bigger fish out in the pond, and for Penn State, there's an official visitor coming to campus here late, and it could impact that class.
There's a 6'4", 320-pound fish out there in the pond. Vega Ione is going to come in for an official visit. This is a guy that was committed to Washington for about 6 months. Of course, they had the change out there. Jimmy Lake is out. Kalen DeBoer is in. He took an official visit to Washington last weekend. I'll be honest with you. I thought he would re-pull the trigger. You know, Washington kept its offensive line coach, which was certainly a big deal in his recruitment, retained his offensive line coach. So he's going to come in this weekend, check things out. He's down to get this one, Washington, Minnesota, and Penn State. So as we complain about the weather pretty much on a weekly basis, this kid is not going south. He's not going tropical, unless you consider State College tropical compared to those places. But yeah, Penn State's, I think they got a puncher's chance here, an outside shot. Obviously, him being from Washington, being committed to Washington for a while, the offensive line coach being retained, there's so much going the Huskies' way right now, but he's willing to give Penn State a shot. And at this point in the cycle, that's pretty much what you got to ask for. Phil Troutwine flew out to see him this week. So, I mean, they're doing what they can. Get him on campus. Anything can happen. I have a tough time seeing, you know, this one coming to fruition because of all the circumstances and the logical points that would point him in Washington's direction. But, I mean, it's the weekend before signing day. We've seen crazier things happen.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, like, this Penn State staff has, 6 days, along with everybody else in the FBS, to kind of assess where they are at from a numbers standpoint. Is there a player that they've been keeping tabs on and had not offered that they maybe could feel like they could swing late in the process, kind of one of those 11th hour offers early next week, someone they've been keeping on the back burner and saying, you know, if we have a spot, you can jump and take it. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of dialogue happening, but there's limited spots and there's limited opportunities. But this tells you there are some fishing rods out there right now coming down toward the stretch. And this has not been an active signing day for Penn State really since that early signing period came into fruition. I think it was 2018, the first year that class, and Rasheed Walker was the only player in that group who ended up signing in February. It's been pretty consistent. I know a few years ago, Daquan Hardy jumped on board late. He's turned out to be a heck of a player for them on the defensive secondary. But Sean, this is one where you've got to crunch the numbers, and that's a tricky thing to do right now. But we saw the roster update. We saw some of these veteran departures from the roster. We haven't seen the transfer movement that maybe we expected. And so kind of let's see what happens between now and next Wednesday. And what actual is, I mean, when you don't get a visit though, I mean, how key is that? You know, you get this kid for an official visit. We don't, as of right now, you're not reporting any other visits. And I guess that's a thing where that's a tough sell. If you haven't had the kid on campus for a personal opportunity, no matter how much you've tried to kind of keep him interested with dialogue virtually, to me, it's a tough sell if him, mom and dad, whoever else, haven't actually been in your facility.
Well, you used to be able to keep these guys on the, or keep some guys on the hook. You remember Corey Bolds, the defensive tackle from North Jersey, just keep them interested, keep them on the hook, keep them on the line. In fact, you know, they called him up the morning of signing day and said, hey, we have a spot for you. With the transfer portal, that's kind of gone away because you can try and grab a guy that you maybe take a chance on that you evaluated early and maybe didn't think he was up to snuff, but you'll take a shot. Now you can do that with a guy that's been in a weight program for a couple of years that's a transfer. So those numbers are going to be intertwined. You know, you saw the movement for the NCAA to give, you know, schools a little bit more flexibility with taking transfers. So I think that's the way that you go. Can you help your team now, or do you take a chance on a guy that is going to be, you know, a 3 or 4 year project? And I think I don't know that there's a great argument for taking a guy that you don't think can contribute, because the way that things happen now, that guy's going to be out of the program in 2 or 3 years anyway. So, I mean, that's kind of the way you have to look at it. Ione is a high 3-star prospect. He was a Washington commit. He's a Power 5 offensive line commit. Penn State needs help on the offensive line. You know, we talk all the time about the premium position there at offensive tackle, but if you got a guy that you think can play at this level and you got a shot at him, or you think you have a shot at him, like they think they have a shot with Ione, you take a chance. I mean, they just offered a couple of weeks ago. I think it was January 13th when they came through with an offer for Ione. So this is one where best whatever out there is available, and they're going to take their shot. And you know, on the flip side, you're not making this trip, you know, just for fun. I mean, he's not traveling to he's not going to Miami the weekend before signing day just to have a good time. This is a kid that seems to be genuinely, I don't want to say torn, because there's so many things pulling him to Washington, but you know, not all of him, he's not completely sold on that being his best you know, opportunity for the future. Visited Minnesota back in December, of course was at Washington last weekend, had a UCLA visit potentially coming this weekend, but he decided to go to Penn State instead. So I mean, there's things pulling Penn State, you know, pulling for Penn State's favor. This is going to take a lot, I think, for them to get over that hump.
In terms of the 2023 class, major presence on campus this weekend, third consecutive weekend, commits coming. You've got some perceived class leaders that can help the coaching staff on campus this weekend. But, you know, some blue chip talent, especially at the top of that list that you've put together for our VIP subscribers at Lions 24/7, and a really opportunity to close out January strong. Maybe you set yourself up for some spring commitments. And of course, that official visit window, which opens up in a big way in April. And you know, that's huge.
Yeah, and before you get to the junior day, which is on Saturday, and by the way, this is all weather dependent. I haven't looked at the latest models, but this might affect some guys in Jersey and, you know, the eastern side, you know, to go closer to the coast. But before you get there, Jason Moore, talented defensive lineman from Dematha, is going to be up on Friday for an unofficial visit. And these are 23 kids, so I don't even know why I'm clarifying unofficial. These are all unofficial visits. But getting Jason Moore on campus, Notre Dame's prevalent in that. I believe Ohio State just offered as well. He's going to have a lot of guys coming after him, but that's so a 3 or 4 visits from Jason Moore. So getting him up anytime that you can. KJ Winston, who just came from that school last time, you've got a couple of underclassmen from Dematha that are going to visit as well. So you want to, you know, trying to assert yourself as a real player in that one. And then Nicholas Harbor, man, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to play football, but this kid, if you're watching our Twitter, just astounded by this kid. 6'5", 225, running a 20.79 200 on an indoor track. Do you know how hard it is, somebody that size, to run that on an indoor track with two turns? unbelievable physical talent. And, you know, he's got some ties to Penn State. His sister went here or goes here. I can't remember if she's still a student. But his position is whatever the hell he wants to play. He's 6'5", 225. Is he an edge rusher? He could be a first-round edge rusher. Is he a tight end wide receiver? Sure, whatever. You know, bring him in as that. You don't care. This guy is going to have everybody after him, including the U.S. Olympic team, and we're going to see which direction that goes. But one of my favorite prospects, I think we have him, where do we have him in the composite? He's number 29 nationally, so he's a five-star. We have him at number 20 nationally as an athlete. I'm just, and I've been telling Doan this for a while, make him a five-star. I mean, this kid's obviously a five-star athlete. So if he ends up in the Olympics a couple of years from now, somebody's going to cite 24/7 Sports, say he was a five-star prospect at some point. It's a win-win from a brand situation. But Nicholas Harbor, man, if you haven't seen that video, check it out, because he is just an absolute monster, and he can play football. That's the craziest thing. Yeah, you know, you weren't sure, you know, back when we were doing 2023 rankings, you weren't sure if he was a great football player, but this kid, whatever he does, he's going to have a leg up because he's so athletic. He's so fast and an unbelievable talent in a couple of sports, and he's been great to deal with. So it's been cool to go through that process watching Nicholas Harbor since he was a freshman.
I'm going to have to put that video of Harbor on the track underneath this podcast up on the site, because people are going to want to see that now. And I went to his Twitter page, and here's what has followed that video that he posted: an offer from Arkansas, an offer from Clemson, an offer from Alabama, and a commitment to the Under Armour All-America Bowl. So it's been a pretty good week for Mr. Harbor. You know, videos like that, they go viral. People take notice and offers show up. It doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, it doesn't. And that's another thing. When you view this recruitment, I mean, the Southern schools are going to have an advantage. You're going to look at programs that are, you know, SEC or Big 12 track programs that, you know, certainly have the pedigree of putting, you know, athletes into the Olympics. You remember Grant Holloway was a receiving prospect out of Virginia a couple of years ago. He went to Florida just to run track, and now I believe he was an Olympic champion, world record holder. So the path is there. You can debate all you want about how much money you can make in both sports, but this guy's got an opportunity ahead of him that's just this is pretty incredible. And we haven't seen many freaks of nature, you know, I don't think that's a derogatory term at all. Freaks of nature come through like Nicholas Harbor. He's just amazing.
Nicholas Harbor among the headliners, arguably the headliner, if you hear what Sean just said about him heading to campus in the next few days here at Penn State. Follow the coverage as VIP subscribers at Lions247.com. Of course, after these guys leave campus, you'll hear feedback from them and see how Penn State was able to impact things. And Sean, this is a big one because, you know, you've had this open period. You come back from Tampa. You're trying to kind of go through that transition period where your roster's getting blown up in different ways, and then you're bringing in the early enrollees, and you got to really hit the recruiting trail so hard in January to give yourself a leg up for the rest of the way and set yourself up for a really important stretch of the 2023 cycle. How do you think Penn State has fared over the course of this month?
I think they've done a good job, and they haven't been wiped out by weather, which is always a worry when you're in central Pennsylvania in January. But, you know, hopefully they can get through this weekend and get guys on campus. You give them an impression, as we mentioned, a first impression coming out of that winter break, and you also give them a lasting impression because February is a dead period after signing day. You're not going to host visitors back until spring, probably the first week of March, I think it is. So you've got an opportunity to leave a lasting impression. You're bringing guys in, you know, familiar names for those that have followed Penn State recruiting. Sidier Mitchell, the big, big defensive tackle from Bergen Catholic, is going to be in. Antonio Cotman, defensive back. I kind of see him maybe growing into a linebacker eventually. He's Ellis Brooks's cousin, who is going to come up for a visit with his teammate Josh Miller, who's already committed to Penn State. One of my favorite prospects in this region, in this class, Tony Rojas, 6'2", 200 and some pounds. He's a running back and linebacker. He's going to play linebacker at the next level, but just a really, really good football player. One of my favorites, and just watching the film and things like that. So, really talented group. I'm looking at a dozen of these kids that have offers from Penn State, and you got underclassmen talent as well. One guy that I know is it's always interesting to listeners in Pennsylvania, London Montgomery, the running back from Scranton Prep, will be on campus this weekend. He started to get those offers piling up: Michigan State, Arizona State, Boston College, a few other ones. Penn State's going to take a look here, and wonder how he fits into the board at a position that they've, you know, recruited at the top, you know, from a rankings prospect or from a rankings perspective, they've recruited running back exceedingly well. Is London Montgomery, who's probably, I think we'll have him rated as a high three-star prospect at some point, does he fit in there? He's also got a 10, I think a 10.99 or a 10.89 100 meter dash. So speed seems to be legit. Is he a guy that you could, as we fall into these categories where we lump these guys in together, is he a Journey Brown type guy that maybe is a little bit overlooked? And I know this is far, far ahead of where Journey Brown was in his recruitment, but is he that guy from Pennsylvania that can, you know, potentially maybe not be the top 200 or the top 100 guy, but still really productive player? So we'll see what happens with London Montgomery. He's been great to deal with so far. So we'll see what Jaywon Sider, you know, when he gets him on campus, thinks of him as a relative prospect compared to the other running backs that he's recruiting in 2023.
Five-star mailbag time, and that brings us right back to another 2023 prospect in the state of Pennsylvania. Here is the question. What is the status of offensive tackle Javen Williams, the top in-state prospect at a coveted position? Is there genuine interest in Penn State, and where does his recruitment stand? And this one's well-timed for us because he just put out a favorites list.
Yeah, he put out a top seven last week. Penn State, no surprise that Penn State's on that. Brian Doan followed up with him the other day after he put that out there. Penn State right in the thick of things. I call them the leader. You know, I don't think this kid's ready to make a decision or anything like that. But Penn State, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State, Pittsburgh, Ole Miss, and Illinois are in that group that he put out I believe it was Saturday that he put that out. But yeah, I like where Penn State's at right now. They've made him a priority. He's a guy that's, you know, 6'4", 290 pounds. He's been on campus three or four times. I believe December he came up on his own for an unofficial visit. I think when you brought this question up, you said it was worded a little bit differently. Somebody maybe overlooked Penn State in this top seven, wondering why they weren't in the mix, but I think they're firmly in the mix. James Franklin's been by there with the chopper. He played in the state title game. Penn State had coaches there. So Penn State's been all over him since he kind of blew up late last summer. But yeah, James Franklin, Phil Troutwine have been on that. I think Penn State is probably, you know, has an edge at this point, and that's going to be one where I think he wants to see more schools before he makes a decision.
Oregon offered this week since that list came out. Maybe some other offers come through to shake up his thought process, but Big Ten heavy right now. And as Sean made very clear there, Penn State's in the thick of this. The question was worded kind of aggressively that maybe Penn State wasn't as involved as they should be in this recruitment. That is not the case, and this is a top 100 prospect in the 2023 cycle as of now. Five-star mailbag, you know where to find us. Apple Podcasts, drop your five-star rating and review along with your question on Penn State football, Penn State recruiting, what have you. We'll get to it here on the show eventually. Sean, covered a lot of territory this time around. We'll be back next week to bring in February. We'll recap what happened over the course of the weekend. We've got the final signing day that used to be the signing day to look ahead to. We'll see if anything is kind of looming for Penn State there, some things to figure out between now and then. On behalf of our producer, Lance Glynn, I'm Tyler Donahue. He's Sean Fitz, and this is the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.